Exploring the journey of motherhood honestly has been a blessing. So much as me has changed since I became a mom. I would say my mind is clearer. I think my heart is purer. I'm still working on patience, but my perspective for a lot has changed. Not to mention my entire world has changed, right, when I decided that I was going to be a mom. But I don't think that we too much discuss, or I don't hear it discussed, rather, when you're experiencing motherhood alongside your own mom. Having my mom right there in arm's reach for advice, for comfort, I think that's undefeated, and it's like kind of less than talked about. I feel like what better way is there to solidify your confidence and like the validity in your journey than the person who raised you telling you that you're doing a great job, right? So I hope today you all can see that firsthand. Because I have a special guest. So thank you all for tuning into episode 12 of Mommy Monologues, Dear Mama. I'm thrilled to kick off today's episode because I have my mom on here for my special Mother's Day episode that will be dropping on Sunday, May 12th. In this episode, we're just going to deep dive into our own dynamic, the dynamic that we shared when I was growing up, going into womanhood, and then how our dynamic changed when womanhood became motherhood. This was no better way, I think, to do my Mother's Day episode. I could have talked about me being a mom because that's what I'm experiencing most, but I felt it imperative to get my own mother on here and collide our journeys, talk about them in an intertwined way. That gets people to see how times have changed, how narratives have changed, how a lot has changed. Truly, our relationship has blossomed in a way that probably wouldn't have happened if we didn't have, you know, motherhood to bond over. If I didn't need that advice about certain things, if I didn't have my daughter. So, you know, I just want to sit here and talk to my favorite person.
Oh, that sounds so great.
Girl, you are so sarcastic.
That is so great. I know I'm your favorite person. That's
cool. No, Cree's my favorite person.
Okay.
But
she's mine too. That's fine. Yes, you are. But as far as bonding together with, you know, your journey with motherhood, for me, it was like, I was sort of like, in the beginning, like, oh, wow, yeah, okay. I'm not going to tell, no, you know, and then I thought about it and said, well, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then it became, for me, the best thing that could have ever, you know, that I could share with you. Because even having you, having kids, I'm like, okay, all the time you got duties, you got this, you got that, but you still find time for your children. But when you had Cree, for me, it was like my blessing. I got things, I got a chance to do things with Cree that I didn't have time to do with you, you know.
Yeah.
Your dad did more.
Yeah, for those who don't know,
yeah,
my mother had me at an older age. She was, mom, was you almost 39?
I was,
you turned 39 a couple weeks after having me, right? And then not just that, I don't think that that really contributed as much as the fact that she had been done having children for 7 years already. I think that that contributed a little bit more, that gap, and I was unexpected. So it was like, you thought that she was like wrapping it up and it was like, oh, wait, we got something else for you. So I think that I always say like, dang, my brothers did this. They did that. They did. I didn't do any of that, but I did
but
do a
did.
Lot of things.
You
though.
Did a lot.
Yeah.
And
I
then
did.
Not only that, for me, it was like surprise, but I think it was something like you say, old. No, I wasn't old. I was older.
Yeah. You was just older.
You know, I was older.
For it to be having
but then
a child,
I was like, I didn't even really see you grow up.
Yeah.
Because it was so, like, I was so used to the, you know, when you first have kids, you just be like, you're overwhelmed. Not really, you don't have to be, but you just overwhelm yourself. But you don't have to be.
Right.
So when I had you, it was like, hey, kid, hey, boy, Hey, Gina.
Get her.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you had sister, like my brothers. So, you know, like,
I had help. Yeah. And then I had my mother.
Yeah.
And she spoiled you riding. So I had my mother. And it was not strange because my mother was close to all of her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And even me being in the house with her forever, she was still close to all of her grandchildren. All of them had a special relationship with their grandmother.
I agree.
And then when I had you, it was like, okay, I'm still in the house with my mom. And it was like, I'm not going to mark her. But she's like, where that girl?
Yeah.
Where that girl up here? You know, that's, it was like, so for both
of us. My
grandma
practically. Yeah.
For both of us, it was like, you made a house a happy home.
Yeah.
I should say that.
Yeah.
You know, you was a big, big baby. And, you know, and we went places, did things. But my mother has always been, for me to have kids, I was not unlearned. It didn't take me to open a book and say, what did I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I do? My sisters and I had nieces and nephews before I had children.
Yeah.
So for me, that bond with my children was like, I was older, but I had everything that I could relate to without having to open a magazine.
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to open a magazine for was, you know,
to shop, of course.
Okay. Yes. Well, but yes, still in all, but I'm grateful for that. And then I look at this too. My mother, my journey with my mother was young. I think by the time my mom was like 21.
She had me. Mm-hmm. But you were the third
but
kid.
But you would never, ever know
that
my
young.
Mother was 21, 22, 23, having her children. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could not do what she... I know everybody loved their mama and could talk about their mama for on and on and on. But that one God gave to me.
Yeah, she was different.
Just different. And
she
just
different.
Like... And that's why Cameron knows when I want to talk to her about some things. And I know when she wants to listen. And I know when she don't want to. And then I just be like, Smurf, you want to talk to me, don't you? Mm-mm. I'm going to wait till you ready.
Yeah.
So because that bond that we can read between the lines, and that's what we do.
Yeah. And I think that that's a special thing about our relationship. I feel like when I was younger, it kind of went from feeling like a pressure to just feeling like a natural kind of like open door policy. Mm-hmm. It went from getting like dragged in and like, you gonna tell me what's going on to like, you know that I'm here whenever you're ready to talk about what's going on. If at some point you're never ready or whatever, I'm still not going to hound you about, you know, something you may not want to talk about or something you don't know how to talk about or whatever the case may be. And I think that that is definitely a way that I'm glad that our relationship blossomed prior to me having Cree, because it made it so much easier for me to come to you and talk to you about motherhood specifically, even if I felt like I was doing something wrong or even if I just needed advice on how to do something right that I didn't know at all. Or, hey, did this happen to you at any point? And what should I do? Like, Cree's acting this way. And, you know, I'm quick to be like, look at her. Like, look at how she's acting. And it's crazy how the different effect that you have on her than I do as her grandmother.
Because she knows.
It's just two different, like, it's just two different effects.
But to me, having you, it's like, I could say, you were born special to me. You was just, you had so much, like the other kids that didn't have that.
Yeah.
So even if you had Cree, you was how old?
I turned 26 right before I had her.
So to me, you could have had Cree at 16 and still been the same person because that's how I felt. That's how mature you were, you know, and
that's
it
strong.
And it wasn't, you know, because of, it don't always have to do with age
at all. You're right about that,
you know. And it's like, you was just that person, And that's why I say my mom could be like she was 17, 18, mm-hmm. but you would never know. Was like mm-hmm. 28, 29, 30 because of her upbringing and what was instilled in her.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I know for a fact what was instilled in you.
Yeah.
You could have handled it at 16 or 17. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. Okay, but, hold on, wait.
but you could have.
But, yeah.
You know, because every day is a journey. You learn. Mm-hmm. You learn. And if you listen, you don't always have to listen to get it right or get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Sometimes you could just be like, I hear you. Don't mean I'm going to do what you say.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, like I can hear what you're saying, but yeah, that doesn't mean that I'm going to take
it. It doesn't
heed.
Mean that at all. But for those, I've seen some courageous, not only in my family, not only in my portal of my daughter and myself. I got some banging nieces.
Yeah.
I got some banging nephews. Mm-hmm. I mean, my family. Yeah. I my sons, mm-hmm. my daughter-in-laws, like, you know, but what I've been given is a blessing. You know, I love the fact that my nieces and nephews call me Auntie Nene. Ain't nobody like Auntie Nene. Ain't nobody.
And
well, we're
true,
not
though.
Like each other because I'm not like my sisters. We are lots alike, but we're different.
Very different, yeah.
And we all love some of the same things. And we all, you know, have challenged our children. But when it comes to taking care of our business with our children, that's just it, and that's just all, you know, and love, family and cousins and being together. That's what we're used to. We're sort of like separated a little
bit now.
But it's just like when someone
picks
up the phone and call, or either when I see you, it's like nothing has changed, you know. But for that, because we've all have ate from the same bowl,
yeah,
and from the same spoon. So therefore, it's like, I can just say to you, we have learned how to swallow.
Yeah. And I think I just want to touch on that kind of, because it's like you said that, like, my cousins have their own parents. Like, they have their own, like, families. They have their own whatever. And it is something, y'all, to be the child of the go-to person, okay? It is something to be the child where, like, it's not just you coming to your mom. It's everybody, because she's just that person. Like, she's just that person. Like, she is, since I've become an adult, and I can't even say like, oh, my mom judged me a lot as a teen. I just think that she just knew what was best for me. So at that age, I considered it to be judgment. But now looking back, it's like, thanks, because these kids are wilding out.
Can you say when you used to go someplace to have some fun? And then I'd be like, mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I used to just be
and
like.
And then I would call your friend to say.
Tell her that I know. And I'd just Cameron, be like, oh, my God.
Tell Cameron I know she's not there.
And I'd be like, wait, what? Like, how do you know? Like, what is going on? So I think that in those moments, she was more so on something like, you could be honest with me. Like, you, I look at you differently lying. I look at you differently feeling like you have to lie. And I think that, I don't know, maybe like 19, 20. Around there was just like, hey, I had this opportunity for my mom to become a close friend. And I embraced that and I took that opportunity. And it was like, since that, it was like, oh, I can come to you about anything for real. And I don't feel judged by you, because the judgment comes from the fact that I know that I'm trying to have something, or that I know that something might be wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But knowing that I can just be open and be honest, and I don't have to feel like you're looking at me a certain kind of way, that just made it all the better to be like, mom, what should I do about this? Because he is doing this, that, and the third. I did do this, but, and to know that she's looking at me and actually giving me sound advice, not judgmental advice, not calling me out, telling me what I should and shouldn't be acting like, and ladies don't do that, and you, none of that. It was really like, hey, if the shoe was on the other foot, like, how would you feel? Like, if this was happening to your daughter, how would you feel? Like, if this was, how would you feel? And that goes to, it would be simple as stuff like, well, that there's your answer. And I'd be like, girl, what? Like, yeah, what? She would put it in a position for me to be like, you just answered your own question. Not beating me down, not like,
exactly.
None of that. Just really putting me in the position to be like, Okay, now that you said, now what do you think?
You know, and I used to tell you, sometimes, you know, just telling you don't mean, yeah, right.
Right.
I'm like, so sometimes if you think you got to go taste the water, go taste
go,
it.
Go,
and then let
go
me know
see.
How it tastes when you come back. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Because that's just it. Because yeah. My mother used to tell me, she knew what I was going to do before I even did it. And I used to always say, she thinks she knew everything. But oh, baby, when I tell you she did. And that's not being psychic. That's just being like,
yeah,
I'm older and I'm wiser. So when you start understanding the wiser, you'll get it. You'll get it.
Yeah. And that came with, I learned a lot before Cree. Don't get me wrong. But mm-hmm. I feel like when I called you and had that conversation with you, like after finding out that I was pregnant and after like, you know, you were very like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, you know, at first it was good. It seemed like, mm-hmm. you know, my decision was solid. And now it's going in a different direction than mm-hmm. I expected. And now I'm a little scared. And now I'm a little like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama sat on that phone and was like, you could always come home.
Exactly.
And it was just like, I knew that.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that.
So you wanted to hear
it? I needed to hear that.
Yes.
I needed to hear it. I needed to hear it. Mm. And it was like, when I heard, baby, oh, I think that. the bags start getting packed. Like, the car was packed up. I left my car there. Like, I was like, I'll get it when I can. Because I just needed to hear that. And that was just one of the many instances where she confirmed for me that I did not have to look very far to see that. And I was in Houston. I was in a whole other. And I didn't have to look far to see that my mom had my back. Like, she was ready. She was ready. She was like, you can always, like, I hear everything that you're saying. And I get that. And I sympathize. And I understand. But you're missing this huge solution.
Who was at the hospital when you had Craig?
Who else?
The next day. Who came to the hospital?
My mom and my grandma.
And who else?
And my auntie. The one who helped me name Cree. She like,
Auntie Mavis.
And I just, it was at that moment that I knew that even though I did choose single motherhood, I was not going to be without a village. I was not going to be without a support system, and I was not going to be without people that loved my child. And that made me okay. That made me okay. That helped me detach from the idea of, you know, this biological family. That helped me detach from the idea of like, oh my God, I'm gonna be a single mom. I've watched my parents be married all my life. Like, I can't believe that this is what's happening to me. When I was taught better, I know better. I was able to, you gotta ignore it. And I gotta pause. No, you gotta quiet it.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Help here. See how mothers have to depend on daughters, too?
Sometimes, yes.
I get that.
Sometimes moms need daughters,
too. See how they say ESP. So we just introduced ourselves to another person that said, who was at the hospital with you? And you said
Did
so.
She just call?
And then she called.
Yeah.
So see what I'm saying?
Hey, what are you doing?
So
it's not going to be that long.
It always be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But as I was, oh yeah, it let me know that I was going to be good. I was going to be good. I don't think anybody wants to be a single mom, but still when you end up in that position, sometimes it is a choice that you have to make. And I made the choice. And I think that when I made that choice and came home and the way that like I was taken care of, like even during my pregnancy, it was just like, okay, I might have this. And don't get me wrong, when I first had Cree, like, it was a struggle. It was a struggle because at the end of the day, you choose single motherhood because you haven't experienced it yet. But then when you're thrown into the field and you're doing it on your own, it's like, oh, snap, like, this is real. But it was like, I remember, like, maybe 2 months in to Cree's life, and I had created a little routine. Like, I had a thing. Like, I would wake up, Cree would be asleep. I would shower. We would go down to the living room. And we would just kick it in the living room. And it was like, maybe after 2 months, it was like, oh, my mom started like catching on to my routine. And she would start coming downstairs into the living room. And I'm talking, y'all, I'm not talking about like 9 a.m. No, I'm talking about like 6 a.m., right? Like 5:30, 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. I will be up and at them and downstairs in the living room, pumping, making milk bottles. And she would come downstairs and she would cook every morning. Yeah. I didn't have the capacity to do all of that. Getting up and moving was enough for me. But she would come and probably 30 minutes after we get settled, here she comes making coffee, tea, breakfast.
And then don't forget, I call my mom because my mom get up at 4:30.
Yeah.
Every morning.
And then she would have me and walk down breakfast to my grandma.
That's right. I said, I can give you breakfast, daughter, because I love you.
I got to feed my mom.
Okay, I got to feed my mom.
Yep.
I say, so it's my mama up, it's 4:30. I know she's not going to eat it.
Yeah.
She's going to just be drinking all the tea. She's going
to say, thank you.
But I say, you got to take it to her. Go down there, take my mama
breakfast.
And I would
take it to her. She'd be like, why you didn't bring the baby? I'm like, grandma, my baby is 2 months. It's cold outside. Like, relax. Mm-hmm. But that just goes to show like 4 generations of the trickle down effect.
Strong
women. 4 generations of strong Black women. Like, mm-hmm. She was taught by, and I was taught by my grandma. Don't get it twisted. I learned a lot from my grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's a lot from my grandmother that I carried with me. Not necessarily things that she was able to directly tell me for motherhood, but the way my grandma treated me when I was a child, the way she took care of me. I was like underneath that lady's forearm at all times. I was going to the casino, y'all. My grandma would have me in the casino. When kids could go to the casino, I was right there at the slots looking at the lights like, huh, okay. And that was because being unexpected, my mom went back to work. I didn't know, this is not something that I have to hold against my mom now that I'm an adult. I don't have to be like, well, you went back to work. You weren't there. You had another kid. And I was well taken care of. From sun up to sundown, my mom was a teller at a bank. So by the time I woke up to even start getting ready for school, baby, she was gone. Mm-hmm. Ready for that bank to open up at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
Yes.
My grandmother raised me for real, maybe and, like until we moved.
And didn't want you to be
over
up
here.
And then didn't want you to up there
did
still.
Not,
you
did not want me, with me to do, nope, was not having it. Wasn't having
it. He wasn't upstairs with
me. And that just, the trickle down effect, y'all, it comes in positives. Like, and everything that my grandma taught my mom, I feel like my mom started teaching me things even before I became a mom.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
Definitely.
Really started instilling stuff in me when I became a mom. It was just like, and it was in such a natural fashion. It was just in a way of like taking over and like having me watch. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And from now that point on, I'm doing it that way.
Go ahead. What? I'm sorry. The only thing that my kids got the same as I got, mm-hmm. but they put their stuff on reserved because I did mine early, mm-hmm. and that was being in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I was kind of early too. Though.
I was in the kitchen at just 11, not to your 12 degree years now. Old. You know, making big stuff.
Yeah,
and I mean, but I guess that came from you all having older parents, and so therefore it was like
we didn't have to.
And then if I didn't do it, your grandmother was right there. Exactly. You know, so but for me, it's like. My daddy would be in the kitchen and my mom. Mm-hmm. So I learned from both of them. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't be in the kitchen as much as my mother. But he knew how to get in that kitchen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't.
Like your dad.
I feel like I picked up on it early, but not as early as that. I feel like I started maybe watching, maybe like 16, 17.
And I feel like after you got it, you really want to like invent yourself.
Yeah.
So why don't you start like on Sunday? Invent yourself.
Was this your shameless plug, guys? She no longer wants to cook on Sundays.
No, it's Mother's Day.
Well, yeah, you're right. You want a full meal?
I just want some geese.
Dang, I'll be
is that what your cousin
y'all see
you
how
say?
Different we are? Because she be wanting like homemade food and I be wanting to go be served.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do nothing. But I'll cook you a meal.
Well, I just want a big meal. I want to teach you how to fix a real good corn pone.
Okay.
And I just want some collards.
Oh, God, the greens. It. We back that's to it. The greens. And that's I it. Have to make some
and no, just two or three bunches. You don't need lots.
Okay. I can do that for you.
Less is more. That's it.
I can do that.
And we can eat that.
Okay.
I don't even have to have any other. Nothing
and I won't have
to
make anything considerably extra for Cree because she'll eat that too.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So I had so many questions, but now I just feel like this just flowed so effortlessly, which as expected.
Don't forget I raised your niece, your nephew. I mean, your cousins.
I was about to say who?
Nikki was my daughter.
Yeah.
That was my sister's daughter. Yeah. You know, and Nakia, Danielle, all them, they have moms. Mm-hmm. They have fathers. Mm-hmm. You know, but this, you know, the same way it was with my kids.
It was just
they would cater to aunts, but they just knew it never catered like my other, you know, like the other children would to us because it just wasn't to me. They catered to Auntie Nene. Mm-hmm. Who did Auntie Nene live with?
Her mom.
So therefore, who you thinking they was going to cater to?
Yeah.
They was catering to my mother.
Yeah.
And I just happened to
be there.
Live mm-hmm. there. Yeah. So therefore, it was like, it was a plus for them. But baby, they was coming regardless. It's not the fact that they were so attached to me.
No. Oh, it was baby, grandma they was, that was grandma. Yeah.
You know, like, in other words, like, they still there with grandma.
Yeah.
Let's get over here with grandma, you know, like, because you all were still there with me and my mother.
Yeah. It was the house.
It was the house.
It was the house.
So yeah, they was attached to their grandmama, baby.
Out of all the memories, honestly, that I have, even the ones that I'm now making, even the ones now I have a child, now I'm creating mm-hmm. new memories, new moments with her. All of my most fond memories mm-hmm. are with my grandma. Or my grandma's house, or like a family gathering of some
Always.
Type, or like a barbecue, or all the memories that
Always.
I withhold from me. Even scars, y'all. Even scars that I remember most clearly are from family barbecues and outings and
yes.
stuff like that. And I feel like as much as I compartmentalize, because, you know, that's what you do when you going through mental health stuff, whatever. I hold on to a lot of those memories. Of the stuff that I can actually like vividly remember.
And I'm sure that people have family reunions, they have this, they, but it just didn't take no come to June or July for Mm-mm. us to have a family reunion.
Yeah.
We did it.
It was a call.
It was like, a, that was
it. Was
it.
A call, you know, like a few days.
We're going to be
Wednesday. Yeah, on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to be
and the whole family would be there.
And that's the way it was for me coming up with my cousins.
Yeah.
You know, and aunties. They frying fish, freaking spaghetti, and like, you know, playing the blues. And I came up with that. My mother was the baby of her siblings.
Yeah.
You know, and my daddy was the baby of his siblings. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't him over here singing the blues, but the kind of blues that he was singing was like worth hearing, babe.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't no mess. And then here come my Uncle Doobie with his mess. And he was the Sam Cooke, you know.
Of the
group.
And
mm-hmm. my mother was his little sister because her sisters and brothers were much older than her.
Yeah.
So that's why she was so wise mm-hmm. and had structure because she was the baby, but you wouldn't have ever known.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But she learned from
those around her.
Being raised by a grandmother, older siblings, and then having all them sisters and one brother.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Okay. That's how it was in our family. My dad's side had all them girls. That mm-hmm. night, 8 or 9, 10 girls and only two,
and
boys.
Two boys.
And on my mother's side, it was only one boy. Seven or eight girls and one boy.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we cherished our uncles. We had cousins that we would call our uncle. We want
right.
uncles
yeah,
so bad.
Because
the men were scarce. Mm-hmm. So my uncle.
Well, that certainly changed after one generation.
Well, my Uncle Ernest was not my uncle. My Uncle Ernest
was
we
your
called
cousin.
Him, he was mm-hmm. my mom's first mm-hmm. cousin. He was my second cousin. Y'all call Uncle Ernie. Uncle Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie is you all's cousin. He was your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how close knitted and respectful we were to our cousins.
Yeah. And you had to be. I mean, honestly, like, look at your cousins that.
Bless you.
Are my cousins, and I call them auntie.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So the motherhood, the mothership just don't always be because I'm your mother. Baby, I'm your mama from auntie to grandmother, to older cousins, because my older cousins to me were like my aunties. For real. And don't think, because like, okay, now your mama back, and I've been keeping you all day. Now your mom at home. You getting ready to show out? Nah, we didn't play that. They didn't play that. Because they'll show you what they was made of. And all it did was made us respectful and strong. And not saying that we was no damn little pushovers now, you know, but I tell you this much. I always chose to pick my battles. And I'm the same way today. Like they used to be like, you know, if I don't have to listen to you, I'm not. And I'm not going to be ever angry about nonsense, because I was on the mothership for real and I learned from it. I sailed on it. I stayed on it. I slept on it. And I got it. And I hope for everything that I said today that, you know, I've seen a lot of young girls be mistaken for being fast and being this and being that. But baby, they know how to take care of them babies. Mm-hmm. I may not always have.
Even sticky situations.
Yeah.
Young moms.
I've seen them be courageous.
Multiple children.
Yes.
Whatever. I've watched it.
You know, so being young, having children don't make you illiterate. Don't make you
less than. Less than. Nothing.
Don't make you
some
less
young
than.
Moms, baby, is out here courageous. Doing it.
Yes.
Better than the moms who wait. So for better than the ones who wait to get married. Better than the ones who all of that. Because you just don't know.
Until you know. Better than the ones that's got the money that can take care of their children.
Absolutely.
But they ain't got time to take care of them.
Yep. Absolutely.
See, I've seen on both sides. Mm-hmm.
That's why I talk about a lot on my show about you just don't know. Like, single motherhood is what it is because that's what it is.
That's
but
why I don't put nobody down.
Not everybody chooses it. Not everybody chooses it.
See, just because you have a baby don't always make you a mother. I've seen them young, courageous, drop off their kids at school. They going to work. They coming back. They in the kitchen. I've seen them where they entitled and they ain't got time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not only just talking about TV moms. You got a lot of TV moms out here.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact that they don't love their children, but baby, love comes more than just, I said, I got to show it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's
I
got to
show it. And it don't always mean like, okay, I'm going to buy you this, I'm going to buy you that, nope. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, I come from a different family, baby.
It's not perfection, it's presence.
It's presence.
It's presence. And
that's it.
Kids won't remember what you didn't buy them. Mm-mm. They will remember that you didn't show up for them, though.
They sure will.
They will not remember that they couldn't get those shoes that came out in 20 whatever, but they will remember that you missed that recital that they were so excited about, and you just found every excuse of why you couldn't be there. Presence, not perfection.
So when you have sisters and brothers that come together and they can always share some mess, try sharing some positive.
Mm-hmm.
Try sharing some, like, don't be so, like it's just owed to you. Like, what's wrong with sharing? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with giving somebody some knowledge?
Yes, yes.
What's wrong with passing the
village?
What's wrong with that?
It's got
because
to keep
you
living.
It's always where you can smack somebody down, but can you sit down with
and
a
build
sister
somebody up.
Or a kid or a young woman and bring her up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can always tell somebody what they don't have. You can always throw it in their face, rub it in their face about how you got it, you got this, you got that. But at what point will we bring back the village?
Share some knowledge.
And understand that now that you know, you're not hindering yourself by telling others.
Exactly.
You're not holding yourself back by spreading this useful information. Your blessing is still your blessing, and it's still coming. And you can help so many other people get their blessing too if you just share the knowledge. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people struggle really bad with that because they feel like they had to fight so hard. And they think that everyone else should have to fight hard as well. Okay, one second. They feel like everybody else should have to fight just as hard simply because they had to. Instead of realizing that the point in one person having to fight hard is so you can reach back and bring up five more that don't got to fight so hard. But see, when you don't take pride in the fact that you overcame something, you don't want to see other people overcome it. Not without going through what you went through.
You know, that could be, and that's not their fault.
No, either. It's not. No, you know, no, no, no.
And it's like
no, for sure. It's learned.
It's like, I got this money, I don't want to spend it. They mm-hmm. just hold on mm-hmm. to it. Some people like, if you don't take money to make money, you ain't going to. But I used to listen to my dad, and he said this one thing. Mm-hmm. And this, he said, I remember when, like, it's happening, like the immigrants today. They used to be us. Mm-hmm. They used to be the Mexicans. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. it was like Mexicans make, if they said $2 or $3 an hour, and then people would say, I'm not taking that job. I ain't working no $2 or $3 mm-hmm. for no $2 or $3 an hour. I'm not doing that. But then you say, they can give me 10 or they can give me 15. But when you got 6 or 7 Mexicans in the household, how much are they really making?
And that is exactly why they.
So if you say 3 times with however many in there.
They were 3.
Yeah. If they say it's 6 in there. Yeah, so like now if they say 3 times 6.
So that's $18 you know what an hour. Because
they're going to put all theirs together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
100%.
So while you're over here with your 10.
Nobody's holding their nothing
they
to
gonna
their chest.
They're going to put it all together.
And that's how they thrive.
And they're going to work together. But when you start doing things separate, it's like you're here and somebody's
you're
here
not realizing,
and you don't care about helping them
and
to
now
come
you,
up
but
to you.
But then also with that mentality, you're not even realizing that you also got to climb on your own now.
Yeah.
You could have conjoined with others and climbing together is a speedier, much speedier, but you would rather do it on your own so you don't have to help nobody else.
Well, you can't see for looking. You're looking at his $3. You're not looking
you're
at
not
the
looking
other people
at the,
that's in,
yep,
in
that's
the,
working
in the
together,
room with
that's
them.
Doing it together.
And they're working together.
Yep.
So if even if you got a person over here, oh, well, I'm making $35, $40 an hour, and you're not going to, you got bills, you got this, you got that. And a lot of people are afraid to give anything because they afraid of not having enough for themselves. And I get that and I understand, but it's like,
especially in this economy,
but if you start coming together,
everybody can have something.
Then everybody can have something.
Yeah,
you know, but that's okay, because like I said,
it's gonna take some time for people to get it, but I do see more people getting it.
Do you? Okay.
I do. So, yeah. So just a couple of questions. I had 12. A lot of them have gone answered just naturally through our conversation.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask a few. So, of course, as you know, I'm still navigating challenges because obviously 5 years is not a long time to have been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning myself. I'm still learning my baby. My baby's learning me. We're learning how to navigate this together. What would you say, what is some advice that you can give me, like straight head on advice when it comes to tackling all the challenges that I encounter?
Let me tell you what my mother used to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Mean what you say
and
say what you mean and be honest with yourself
and
don't ever think that you can learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
You're a human being just as is. But learn how to say, what you deserve. Everything you think you deserve, you're not entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not entitled to. But you don't always need everything
that you
either
think that you do
to, you know,
feel
be
complete.
Comfortable
mm-hmm.
and happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because happy, when people put emphasis on my happiness, I need a dollar. Everybody wants something mm-hmm. more than they have. Mm-hmm. And a dollar could be fine, but once you get the dollar, then it's something else. Mm-hmm. Then because it's going to always be something else. Mm-hmm. But nothing's wrong with wanting more or better or whatever. But I say this much. Learn how to appreciate what you have mm-hmm. and stop owning what you don't have. Yeah. Period. And stop beating up yourself about the things that you don't have and thinking that I should be doing this by now. I should be here by now. You are exactly where God has you to be until he say so. Until he say other. But he don't mean just sit and wait like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. God, I'm waiting. Yeah, I'm praying. No, he means
don't keep the ball rolling.
Keep the ball rolling. But if it's taking pace, don't get upset with it time.
Because
it's not going to be time until it's time.
Yeah.
Period. But stop beating yourself up with I should have this and I should have that. Because that'll put you into a depression.
Absolutely.
It'll put you into a spiel of like, well, I'm not there. My friends got this. My friends got that. Hmm. Check on yourself and see what you have.
Yeah.
Really check on yourself and see. I do it myself and say, dang, I ain't got what?
Yeah.
I got everything that
yeah,
I need.
Everything that I'm supposed to have, yeah.
That I need. And the things that I desire and I want. And it's okay. I don't care what nobody's saying. Nobody like me. I'm glad I'm me. There is. And I feel like people, individuals, should say that about themselves.
Ain't, yeah,
nobody, I know I can say there is one no me. One, but I say ain't nobody
ain't
like
nobody
me.
Nobody like me. Yeah, and that's true.
Facts.
Yeah. All right, one more question.
And I love me, yes.
I love you too, girl.
Thank you.
So since I became a mom, mm-hmm. which you've watched literally from start to now, there has mm-hmm. not been any point during my motherhood where we have been separated correct. For a lengthy period of time. Mm-hmm. What has made you most proud of me?
The way that you carry yourself. I haven't always been, you know, like, I won't say not proud. I've been a little overprotective, but what makes me proud is you never stop going after the things that you desire. And it's not a whole lot that you want or have to have, because if so, I'll be like, you better go, love. I'd be looking at you like,
not the Whitney Houston.
This is my Houston over here.
Not the Whitney Houston.
So you really wasn't concerned with a dollar.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, you've traveled in those circles and it didn't change you.
Yeah.
You were still, so I'm most proud of the way that you take care of this girl. And the way you look out for your child. And you know, like, you know, it's like, okay, I beat up kids. Don't be messing with my baby. You know.
Y'all, for real,
you know,
though.
It's like, but, you know, like, how far to let her go, how far you'll let her go. But I'm not only that, I'm mostly proud of, I saw you struggle. I saw you beat yourself up like, I'm still in the house with my mama. Baby, I was in the house with my mama till the day my mama left here.
Yeah.
She just happened to be in different levels, but I was still in the house with
yeah.
my mama.
Yeah.
I was in her temple, period. So for, mm-hmm. I see your growth. I've seen you grow.
Yeah.
I've seen you grow and mature more since you've had Craig. You was a mess trying to sing and beat, you know, yeah.
I was a hot mess, y'all.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
really but, was. Creed, you know, Creed.
God answered prayer.
Yes. He gives you what you need.
You know, because. And I, you know, for that fact, but I most proud to see you grow. And you still growing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want you to do more so than this right here. This. Understand that everybody is not going to do what you want
mm-hmm.
or say what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you this, you don't always have to eat off everybody's plate to be fed either.
Yes, ma'am. See, and I don't just gotta accept whatever.
I don't have, yes, ma'am. You know, I don't have to rush things that I think will make me whole. Mm-hmm. Let me take my time, because I don't care about what Judy got to say. She got a baby. She's got 5-year-old. She ain't married to nobody. Everybody you marry is not your husband.
Absolutely.
Or your wife.
Absolutely.
So how about I take care of me first? Mm-hmm. And that would make me most proud. Yeah. When you take your time and take care of Cam.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And I don't always need a partner.
Yeah. So true.
To validate myself.
Yeah.
For real.
Because yeah, I tell you,
if anything was to happen to any of us tomorrow, per se, my husband, I ain't looking for another brother.
Yeah.
I'm not, period. I'm cool. I'm satisfied. And they say never what you're going to do or what you're going to move. Not that I want to see him transfer here, I mean, out of here, mm-hmm. but it just may be me. But all I'm saying is, I'm content and I'm cool. And I saw my mama do that. My mom and dad separated and divorced early. She was in her 30s.
In all my lifetime, I never ever saw my grandmother with a man.
She was in her 30s.
Ever.
When that was over with.
All my lifetime. That woman, her and my grandfather separated.
And I think she had her little friends and stuff, but we weren't going to say
it. It was so quiet.
But all I'm saying is she embraced her children. And not only that, it was like, my mother was in her 30s. She lived to be 89.
Mm-hmm.
And
50 years.
She wasn't concerned with no, I got to have
me a boyfriend. Didn't want to be bothered. Could nobody even flirt?
Realize like her.
Can nobody even flirt with that? She'd be like.
Realize like her.
Oh, no. Yeah, so she honed in on her family, and she did not look back, baby.
Yeah.
She did not look back.
Yeah, so therefore, when you feel courageous about yourself and understand yourself, then you'll make it about yourself.
Absolutely.
And you'll be okay with yourself.
Yeah.
And you will be okay with yourself. Because I wasn't concerned about how old I was at having kids or having a father.
Because I'm surely like, Lord, what am I going to have another child? Else. I'm so just like, no. Yes, maybe. No, And at this point, I don't know. I'm going to lay off my womb. Like, I'm whatever.
My Jean Ashley was 15 or 16 months when I married his daddy.
Yeah.
But if I had never married him, I would have been still okay.
That would have been just fine, yeah.
I don't need you to dictate to me to tell me what motherhood is or who I should be married to.
Or what I should be doing.
Or what I should be doing. Oh, you can have two people in the household.
Do it make it like...
Oh, it's two people in the household.
automatically
and none of you all need to be
perfect.
Together.
Exactly. Or only one of y'all the parent. Or one.
So you
it
you just, get
it all
wrong.
Looks different. Because it all looks different. That's why I don't judge any situation, because it all
it don't
looks
come with
different.
Instructions, baby. What you do for you is listen
to yourself
and pay attention, and don't beat yourself up about I gotta have somebody, or you feel like
it ain't right until you have somebody. For me, it's like settle down.
I mean, you think you're not, you think it's not right, it's not complete until you have somebody. I'm complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely can't be complete with somebody unless you
I was complete. I was complete when you know. With my mom, and she was like, you're not listening, you're not this. I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 23. And I respected the fact that my mom didn't care for a lot of things that I was that I chose
to do.
To do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of me saying, I'm grown, I'm 23, I say, I know I'm upsetting my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I know what she stands for and what she don't. But since you're going to do that, I suggest you do it someplace else,
time.
Little girl. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take anybody to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I got to go because
I want to do these things, but I'm not going to do them in your face.
I'm not going to do them in your face.
Yep. And
I know
if that,
that
means me having to branch out, then that's what I got to do.
And I know that, like, I'm upsetting my mother with the so let me go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'll be gone a couple of months. I just
get to come back.
Be gone. But I was gone a few years. But then it was okay. But like I said, I didn't disrespect my mother. I didn't say, I'm grown. Mm-hmm. Get over it. No, I left, and that was fine.
Yeah.
You know, and then even when she didn't, you know, a lot of things that you can do different, that's fine. But you can be different, and you can make yourself proud, but always give yourself the opportunity to think things. Don't ever be in no hurry to do nothing. You hear me, young man? Okay.
Well, that was a lot. And a lot of it I needed to hear. So before, hey, ma'am, can you go back there, please? Thank you. I understand, but I told you already, okay? Okay, so before I close out the conversation, as you all know, I did not have a Mommy's Mirror with Crease episode, but naturally, I have one today, which is perfect because who am I other than a reflection of my mom, okay? Honestly, out of all my mom's children, I would say that I am most like her. And I honestly don't think that that has anything to do with me being a woman. If we're being fair, I think it's because I stay close. I think it's because no matter what I try to do or not even try to, no matter what I thought I was doing, when I called myself moving, hey, ma'am, go have a seat, please. Thank you.
And it's funny that you would say that.
This my closing, though. Okay.
I'm just saying.
But it's true. It has so nothing to do with me being a woman. I stay close. Even when I moved away to Houston, I thought that I had just graduated, got my little associates, thought that I was going to start me a new life. And what?
You did.
I did. Y'all, I did. I really did. But then I got pregnant with Cree. And that brought me right back to the nest, man. And it was like, I fought so hard to constantly get out in like the first 3 years of my baby's life because I felt defeated in a sense. I felt like, girl, you're going to end up right back in your mama's house. And not just right back in my mama's house. It's not like I went off and the first 2 years of baby life was hard and then I came back in the house. No, I'm in here pregnant, big, waddling, up and down the stairs, eating up all the food. And not one time did I feel judged or did I feel like I didn't belong or like I was supposed to be somewhere else. I don't want to cry, but I just want you to know that our relationship has always been something that I cherished and I'll never take it for granted.
Me too, girl.
And I thank you for all the sacrifices that you made for me, for all the sacrifices You're that welcome. You made for my baby.
You're welcome.
I thank you for taking care of her. I thank you for being right there to pick me up when I fall short and always making sure that you're there for me when I need you and when I don't. And I couldn't be more grateful. Looking back now that I'm 31, almost 32, I know that I was a handful. I know that I was spicy. Spicy for sure. So I can just say thank you for never making me feel out of place.
You're welcome.
Even when I did things that you didn't approve of. So I brought you here today so you can sit here in my face and I can tell you that.
I love you, girl.
I love you so much. I thank you.
And you are so welcome. You my baby, girl.
Forever and always.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Ooh, I've almost cried on some episodes, but I don't think I really ever cried before. That's
like Vivica Fox would say.
But there's no other episode to cry on besides the special Mother's Day episode. I just wanted you all to understand where I come from and why I am the way I am and why this bond means so much to me. It is the reason why I'm everything that I am today. And because of you, I'm able to be the mom that I am to my child. And I just thank you.
And you are so welcome.
And I hope that God gives me forever.
Yes.
I know that that's
yes.
far-fetched, but as long as I can have with you.
Will he give us memories?
Yes.
In the corners of our minds.
Yes.
So yes,
forever.
I will always have my mom forever.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Here and after.
And absolutely. And even her presence, not here, but here. She's always here, and I can always feel her. Period. So that being said, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Hello. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for sticking with me through my tears.
Yes.
I just want to say I appreciate you all always for tuning in to Mommy Monologues, because this is a topic that will always mean the world to me. As you know, like, comment, share. If you can relate, if you cannot, please just send it to somebody who can, because somebody needs to hear this.
All
so
right.
Thank you all once more. I'll see y'all next week. I gotta go be a mom. And so does she.
God's grace.